you're just constantly mentally just seeing yourself on stage, visualizing hitting your poses. You know, I did figure, so I had to do something called the figure walk. And so that a lot of that was about stage presence and, you know, having that quote unquote confidence or swag on stage. And so you're just trying to get in that zone. So
you're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello and welcome back. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you will probably notice that this episode kind of have a different flavor, different feel than the regular Trail Talk. My guest this week is Candace McField. She is an executive health coach. She is a former professional bodybuilder, and she's written a book called As For Me and My Body. One of the things that she talks about in her book is the connection between body and soul and how the soul affects the body and physical performance as well as success in life. This is a topic that is something that I have been interested in, and since she had written a book about it, I wanted to have her on as a guest to discuss it with her in person. I hope you enjoy the episode. Here is my conversation with Candace McField. And part of the reason I wanted to talk with you, I saw you on Fox 4, and
I was on, I had to do a segment this morning, so you caught me in makeup. Usually I don't wear makeup, but you caught me on anytime.
Yeah,
I'm on
Fox, and so I'd seen you. I mean, I follow you on Instagram. You know, I'd seen you pop up a few times, and then your thing on Fox 4. And then I saw you talk about your book. I was like, wow. Yeah. Some of the things that you were saying about the mind and the body, and I think you even called it, you say the soul, is like right in line with kind of the transformation that I've been through and kind of what I talk about, you know, the mindset to persevere, the mindset to get the most out of your, you know, out of your body is that cooperation between the mind and the soul. In fact, I almost called my coaching business soul running because that's really been the core for me of kind of my transformation. And when I saw you had that, I was like, I've got to talk with her. So
yes. No, I love talking about this stuff.
Usually what I try to do is if I'm interviewing a runner, I say, how do you start out running? But how did you get involved in fitness? I mean, I know a little bit about, you know, what you've done, you know, from being in fitness and competitive right. bodybuilding. So, but how did you get it? How were you, were you an athlete in high school?
Oh yeah. So I think I've been an athlete since I was maybe three or so. Cause I had an older brother. My brother's 5 years older than me. And then I was the only girl in the neighborhood. So my best friend as a kid was a boy, and there was old guys in the neighborhood. So I grew up playing soccer and football and chasing whatever sports or whatever we were trying to do. But, you know, I just always had that athletic spirit. And I think that's really kind of like what started it. But then, you know, as I got older, I definitely played like soccer. I ran track. I played basketball. I played softball. And then in high school, you know, I played just basketball and softball. And then the whole world of bodybuilding, as you know, that didn't come until I was, in 2005. So I was in my early 20s when I started competing as a form of bodybuilding, which was a whole different, you know, shift in sport.
Yes. Yeah. I have a friend that has been, she ran 100 miles. I think it was her first 100 mile just last year. And then transitioned back to competitive bodybuilding. And so she was going to try to, try to do both. And then I saw on Facebook, she's like, no, I'm sticking with bodybuilding for now. She wants to kind of pursue that. But I mean, she loves both sports, but I know you don't run as a bodybuilder. not far, not much,
100 miles, not 50 miles. Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be kind of completely different physiques and a completely different style training needed for both. But kudos to her for having that, you know, spontaneity and the drive to do both of those. That's impressive.
Yeah, and she's, and I think she still, she was signed up to do a long race, and I think she backed off just because she got herself fit for in the competitive bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And she says, okay, I want to continue on with this. And that's not conducive. Right. Running 100 miles is not conducive to keeping muscle.
She would lose a lot of that muscle she built. She lose it.
Keeping muscle on your body. Yeah. But, yeah. So how did you got into competitive bodybuilding? So how long were you in that? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, so I started in 05. Honestly, I just went to see a friend in a show in 04, and that's how I got started. I went to see a colleague. He was a bodybuilder, so we just went to support him. And so when I saw the ladies take the stage, I was like, I can do this. And so I just tried it out in 05, got demolished, did not place. I did my second show in 06 and ended up winning my professional card at that show. Wow. And then competed at the professional level from 06 to 2018. So within that span, you know, it was incredible to travel the United States. I also did 3 international shows. But yeah, it just taught me so much, like just one, just being a competitor and really having that, making sacrifices and being dedicated and things like that. But yeah, it was a long time in the sport for me. So, but I accomplished a lot, you know, when I left, I felt like I was at a good mm-hmm. point in my life.
So you did well happy. in the sport. What?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, even, you know, at the professional level though, I started in 06, but I didn't even place in the top 5 until 2010. Okay. So I went 4 years of just getting demolished at the professional level. And then placed in 2010, finally in that top 5.
That's cool. What do you have to do in as far as the as preparing yourself and presenting yourself? What is the kind of, I mean, it's a competition.
Mm-hmm. It's a competition. But,
So what is kind of the mental, what is the self-talk, the mindset? What do you have to do to prepare yourself to compete in bodybuilding? Because I mean, that seems that would be a very different than, you know, going out and running or, you know, track or,
Yeah, it's very different, especially because you have to be so precise, especially with nutrition. But I think the first mental thing for me is like there's a switch right in my brain that I had to flip. And I tell clients this too, like when it's go time, you have to flip this switch. And so I would train like 20 to 24 weeks to get ready for one show, you know. And whenever that first day came, I flipped that switch. Like, okay, Candace is now, I'm not just Candace, but now Candace is the competitor. And so as the competitor, you know what? All my meals, because bodybuilding is so crazy, extreme, right? So all my meals are exact. My training is exact. Like I can't miss a day at the gym. I'm not going to miss a day at the gym. I'm going to do all my cardio. If I'm supposed to do 45 minutes, I'm going to do 45 minutes, or an hour, I'm going to do an hour, not a minute over, not a minute less, weighing out your food and things like that. So I think the first mental thing, like I said, it was that switch flipping in my brain, like it's go mm-hmm. time. And from there, once you're mentally focused, like nothing can stop you. But I think you have to have that mental focus, and then you can just, you're smooth sailing, especially like after the first 4 weeks. The first 4 weeks are really, really tough to kind of get in that groove and break sugar addictions and things like that. Mm-hmm. But after that, you're good to go.
So what about the day of competition? What is that like?
The day of the competition.
You have to be focused. I mean, I would imagine you've got all the mm-hmm. training and then, you know, that you've done, but I'd imagine there's a lot of focus you have to have for.
Yeah. And then honestly, I'm going to take you back, cause it's not even about the day. It's about like that last week. Okay. So that last week of training is critical, because for bodybuilding, you know, you got to peak on stage. You got to peak on stage at the right time, like whenever you're on stage. And so there's everything we do is an illusion, right? We look huge on stage with our muscles. That's because, you know, we're taking water out of our bodies and we're, you know, then kind of at the end of that week, you know, put a little bit carbs back in so your muscles can like, quote unquote, inflate. We tan to make our skin darker because you're under these high powered lights. So anyway, there's a lot of that last week. There's a lot of prep that goes into it just to make it to the day of the show. So the day of the show, you're up early. You're going to have, you know, whatever your meal is, like chicken, probably a little bit of carbs, but you're just constantly mentally just seeing yourself on stage, visualizing hitting your poses. You know, I did figure, so I had to do something called the figure walk. And so that a lot of that was about stage presence and, you know, having that quote unquote confidence or swag on stage. And so you're just trying to get in that zone. So it's just like you and the judges, and, you know, you kind of tone out the audience, like you have hundreds of people looking at you on stage at a time. It can be kind of intimidating, but you just have to stay focused. And so I think a lot of the day of the show is you're up early, you're eating your meals still exact, and then you're at the show, you're pumping up, you know, in the warm-up room, you're getting your oil on and things like that, just mentally staying focused.
So how, when you presented on stage, how did you get it? Was there a method that you used to get in that zone to
Yeah, for me, it's music. Okay. I love music. So for instance, you know, we're backstage and I have some headphones in and using weights or resistant bands because you're like trying to pump up your muscles at that point. So I never did much talking to the other competitors backstage, you know, maybe after we're done, but you know, there wasn't much chit chat going on because you're just trying to like, I mean, do your own thing, because you have to realize 24 weeks of training comes down to you being on stage for maybe 10 minutes. I think the longest I was ever on stage was a show I did in Boston. And I think because it was a huge show, but there was a lot of pros at that show. And we had two classes and they broke us up, but we were on stage for like 17 minutes. And so when you're posing, that's a very long time to pose, like under these high powered lights, and you're just sweating and your muscles are fatigued. So anyway, you like using music for me, like in the headphones and not talking to people and just saying to myself, Candace, it's game time. It's now, you know what? I worked hard. I put in every single, you know, effort that I could. I give it 100%, and now it's just showtime. And so I just have to go perform, and that's it.
That's cool. Now you've also, I mean, you're a coach, you're a fitness coach. And so, you know, how do you help your, you know, what do you say? And, you know, the podcast is primarily for ultra runners. And so, you know, thinking about, you know, you work with a variety of clients. What do you suggest for, that's be helpful for runners for building endurance? And this is coming from a lot of runners I know, we don't do strength training. we love to run, and so we work on our legs, and I was guilty of that too. And at the beginning of this year, I looked at my arms, I'm like, yeah, my upper body is not not doing it.
Well, you know, a few things. Like the first thing that came to my mind is like working with clients, I have them a lot of times develop a personal mission statement. And I think that personal mission statement can translate, you know, whatever sport you're in, like making sure you understand like what you want to accomplish and why, right? Like, why are you doing this? So it's kind of just your mission statement first and foremost. But I think that, you know, just, you got to have your body balanced, right? I mean, I know you guys are runners and you may not do as much strength training as you know, people in bodybuilding or whatever sport, but I would love for you to realize that it's, you know, everything in our body is connected. So like that upper body strength you know, it's going to help your core. And that core is like our, you know, connection from to the upper body to the lower body. So that's going to help power your legs. So I think overall, you could be better, you know, athletes if your body is naturally balanced. And you can only have that balance if you're going to do your upper, your lower, your core, and looking at that whole picture of things. And then two, I wonder, you know, tell me, Eric, like how much do you guys focus on like those fast twitch, you know, muscle groups or fibers, even doing some sprinting and not always long distance training? Is that worked into your schedule?
It depends on the run. For me personally, mm-hmm. I've went out on the track for the first time, I think maybe ever, just last week.
Really? That's like my favorite place to work out is the track.
and for ultra marathon runners, are a lot of us, we run in the woods on the trails. And so the fast twitch, it's a lot of slow. But I know mm-hmm. that fast twitch muscles build strength and build speed. Yep. And so you overall get faster. And then I've also been reading a book called The Oxygen Advantage. Not only, it also builds your ability to process oxygen. That was the one that did it for me. It's like, okay, I need to learn how to breathe better. So I should probably get out there and do sprints.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy though, how everything like really is important and connected, but even like a small thing as like learning how to breathe better can like enhance performance significantly. So yeah. I say one thing too, just make sure you're doing some sprints here and there, and not all the time, because that's not your focus, but it'd be good to throw it in your schedule every once in a while.
Yeah. And that's it was fun. I enjoyed the track, you know, the track time, and you know, to see it.
We'll have to get out there sometime and do some track warm up or something together. That'd be fun.
Well, my speed is not what it was when I was running in my 20s, but
that's okay.
but I've been running since the end of 2017, and just over the last 2 years, I've picked up, you know, a couple minutes a mile, still slower than most, but I'm still looking, I want to improve.
Right.
And,
you can always be a better version of yourself.
Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. and so that led me to the track, and I'm also running more on roads because I can focus on form and technique. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're trying not to trip over rocks and roots, that's kind of the primary focus.
Right. Yeah. That must be scary sometimes, right? Do you have to constantly look down a lot, to make sure you're not hitting a tree root or branch or something, a rock?
There's rocks and roots. And so, but you have to, you can't watch your feet. You have to be looking ahead. And so, you have to let your subconscious mind guide where your feet are actually landing, and your eyes, mm-hmm. and you look between the rocks and over the roots, and try, and makes and then sense. In the summertime, you have to make sure that the root is not a snake.
Yeah, snakes are bad. That's the scary part. Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine. There's a snake on the trail. I probably would freak out.
And black snakes look very much like roots, because the way they lay, mm-hmm. the roots are very similar in shape to this. But
my gosh.
But yeah, it's just there's a lot to think about. And so focusing on form while you're running on trails is not as easy. I'm having to translate from running on the road, learning that, getting that so that it's automatic. So that now when I'm running on trail, the form is coming as I can focus. So it allows me to focus on a whole, but there's a lot to think about, a lot to think about when you're running on trails.
I know, right? I see.
And you've written a book. Tell me a little bit about your book. Mm-hmm. It's called As For Me and My Body. Is that the title?
It's called As For Me and My Body. You know, and that title for me, like it's a playoff of the scripture, As For Me and My House, I will serve the Lord. So for me, I believe that like the mind, body, and soul are all connected. And really it's a 21-day journey just to help the reader bridge their physical and their spiritual health. And so how I wrote it is just very short chapters. And so like, there's like a spiritual section where it's kind of like inspirational. The reader kind of gets like a more inside look of who I am. And so I just kind of use some things that I've been through to inspire, to motivate. And then there's a like a spiritual challenge I have you complete. And then I correlated that spiritual section with the physical section. And so there's a physical educational section I'll take you through, and then you have a physical challenge to complete, and you do that for 21 days.
Okay. So is what is the spiritual part like? I mean, a lot of people focus just on the physical. I mean, you probably have clients that's where most people live is in the physical.
Is the physical.
And we tend to, even religious people give, a time Sunday morning or whatever, a small point,
right.
but there's, there tends to be from, just in general, I think the spiritual is over there and the physical is over here and never the two meet.
Yeah. Never the two meet. but like I said, I think it's so connected and so correlated. So for instance, just as, we on the physical side, we drink water, on the spiritual side, that water is like reading the word, right? Reading the scripture, having that communication. So that's one example. And I use things like that, but also like, taking that time, that 5 minutes, or whatever, 20 minutes to have that quiet time. Like, for instance, I talk about, a lot of times we go in our world and society, but sometimes I think God's just trying to have us just slow down and like take in the nature, take in the flowers and things like that. So I use kind of stories or personal examples of like, okay, this is how XYZ is connected to the physical aspect as well.
So personally, how do you do that? How did you make that journey to find this connection between the soul and soul and the body?
Yeah, that's a great connection or question. I think for me, that journey honestly started, I was probably in my 20s, and I kind of grew up in and out of church, but then I don't think it really had a meaning to me until I was probably in my 20s. And so from there, as you kind of strengthen and develop that relationship with him, you just become like certain things, you can hear his voice, or that you just have that piece of understanding that just comes to you. And so I think like just me just improving my faith, or increasing my faith has like led me to where I'm at today, of really feeling like, okay, to have that physical performance and be optimal in that area, my spiritual, side has to be intact. My emotional side has to be intact, mental, as well. So that's kind of, I think, how I arrived to where I'm at.
so many stories, people go the other way. I mean, people who grew up in church, hit their 20s and end up being, well, I don't need this anymore. So you went the opposite direction. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I go the opposite direction than compared to most, but I mean, whatever maybe you have an experience and, you may go one direction, like the opposite direction, but maybe sometimes, you may be called back at some point.
And that happens too. That's a lot of people's story too. That's a lot of people's story too. Yeah.
I know.
How on a daily basis do you nurture that connection between the two? I mean, how does the physical
affect your, you know, the soul and the soul, the spirit, the physical. What do you do mm-hmm. to maintain that? I mean,
yeah. So to maintain that, like, it's just part of my regimen. And I think, so I get up early in the morning, I work out. So kind of like that physical aspect. And then after that, you know, I'll take that spiritual aspect, and that can, for me, that can look like just either just quiet time, or that could just be locking in, reading some scriptures, and then quiet time. So I think on a daily basis, it's a combination of those two. Like, I have to have that physical, you know, like, okay, let me pump out some weights, get some cardio in, things like that. But even when I'm doing cardio, a lot of times I'm thinking, I'm meditating, I'm having that quiet time, like to that stillness. I'm stillness as far as hearing like his voice, or just like not thinking about everything going on in the world at the moment, yeah. Right? I could just kind of do me, right. Per se.
Yeah. And mm-hmm.
Does
yeah.
that make
and
sense?
Some people call that meditation. You know, some you would say that meditation. Because a way to that we're always churning out a bunch of thoughts in our mind and trying to, you know, mm-hmm. let those thoughts quiet down so that you, and so that's kind of the what you mean being quiet, you know, quieting your thoughts and
yes, yeah. And yep, yeah. Quieting those thoughts, right? And I do that a lot during cardio, mm-hmm. Whether I'm jogging or walking or just on the bike or whatever, just, you know, I just sometimes you just want that. I don't want to think about anything in the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I do have to think about whatever as far as work, but yeah, I think that's a great way of how I merge the two.
So when you're exercising, you are able to actually quiet your thoughts down as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Whether that's cardio or strength training, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, even too, like being outside, taking bike rides and just really taking in the nature, looking at the leaves and the sky, you know, I think, you know, being in nature is one of the most incredible ways to feel that connection, you know, to God. And you could just see all that he's creating. You're just like amazed.
Mm-hmm. So do you, how do you help your clients make that connection?
And so, you know, honestly, like, you know, some of them, they're not all like spiritually based first and foremost. So, for those that I do know that are kind of have like that spiritual base or want that connection, like we just kind of talk openly about it. You know, like, especially if we happen to share the same faith. So I think like having those different conversations or, challenging them in that area, like, okay, like, you know, what would be the, you know, decision, what would be the best decision for you, like spiritually to make for that, whatever that decision is. So I think a lot of times like helping, it's just like having or talking clients through certain things, like just having that conversation with mm-hmm. them, and just being open. Right. So we're just kind of bouncing back and forth off of each other. But yeah, and like I said, it's not all clients, that it just kind of depends on that relationship. and if I know, like, if they're, I mean, most people know, like, you know, I'm a faith-based person. So I would say majority have that in common with me, but not all of uh-huh. them do.
So the people who don't, or who are not faith-based, are they, you know, is there like a little bit of openness to that spiritual connection, or do they just focus on I just want to work out my body, forget the rest of it?
You know, I would say majority are open to it, you know, like in tidbits, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, it's just, as a believer, I think certain things probably just come out of my mouth and it's just, you know, probably has like a spiritual connotation to it. And so, you know, maybe they think something of it, maybe they don't, but I say mostly they're open to it, but like how in depth do we go is probably a different mm-hmm. story, right? We may just keep it there at a surface level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've been kind of chasing this idea of the relationship between the soul and the body. And, you know, as a believer for a long time,
yep.
It just, there is, you know, the scripture mentions the soul, but it doesn't describe the soul. And and so I've been kind of going through trying to, you know, go deeper, you know, to figure out what is that connection. And then, you know, also, you know, I've been reading and looking at neuroscience and the scientific study of what they're calling, you know, the consciousness and the mind. Is, you know, basically they're using scientific language to describe the, you know, what the Bible talks about is the way we're made up. And so it's mm-hmm. it's been for me a fascinating journey. And there's one, you know, kind of been my the verse in the Bible that I have kind of hung on to. It's in 3 John. It says, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so mm-hmm. I have the you know, and you know, scientific, you know, science has talked a lot about, you know, the thoughts that we think and how the thoughts and emotions can affect us physically. And, you know, people, and there's a lot of talk about trauma. People have experienced trauma and then that shows up in the body. And so there's all of these scientific things that go right along with saying that if our soul, if we prosper in our soul, we'll be in health. Yeah. and so that correlation between the two is something that I've been looking at for a long time and putting into context because I grew up in a very, you know, religious family. You know, we went to church all the time and, you know, studied the Bible, and my parents were actually going to be missionaries to Brazil. So, So I was like, you know, that was like, I know a lot of, you know, the Bible because, you know, that was talked about in my house growing up. And so that this whole thing of the soul has been recent for me because it's easy to just kind of accept, oh, well, yeah, that's religion. We've got a soul and, you know, body and a spirit. And, but yeah, I've always been curious and I've been digging into that for a long time. And so, you know, as a coach, I am looking at what does your mental attitude, what is, you know, basically your soul, your thoughts, your emotions, you know, together, how does that affect your body and having your body and your soul lined up to enhance performance? So that's been something I've been looking at for a long time. And so I like, it's kind of, I enjoyed hearing you say that. So,
yeah, no, it's such a fascinating a topic. And like I said before, like I just feel like that body and soul, I mean, it's so connected in alignment with how you're feeling physically, emotionally, mentally. I think if, you know, if we're not together, like spiritually, like there's, I mean, everything else is like astray, you know, for me, and that's my personal belief, but I don't know, going back to what you said just a little bit ago, you know, is kind of thought about that phrase, like you are what you say, or however that saying goes, as far as like, you know, the thing, your thoughts, what you say, that becomes your reality and who you are. So, yeah, I just think that if we, like, if we can be grounded, like in the word, then like, you have so much more you can achieve and you could do because you have that foundation, your foundation is taken care of and everything else is kind of like built on top of that. So that mind, body, soul connection.
Yes. Yeah. And
fascinating topic.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, a lot of the churches that I've been in and a lot of the people I know who are believers, you know, don't take very good care of their soul. And, you know, we're bad examples. I mean, we say
our bodies are a temple, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're stewards at the end of the day, right? Just living in this world, we're stewards of all the resources he provides us, whether that's monetary or material things or whatever, but even our bodies, we're like stewards of. And so he's called us to take care of our bodies. But like you said, a lot of us, we don't take care of our bodies. We neglect our bodies. And so I think we should look more into that. How can we be, just as we're good stewards financially or whatever, how can we be good stewards of our own temple? And
yeah, because we, you know, the body we have on this earth is what we live in. And
that's, yes, exactly.
And as you know, we were talking about houses and you know, living in a house. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we remodel houses. I mean, we'll take something and it's broken down and we'll fix it up.
Yep.
And you know, I've kind of come to the fact that my soul can do that to my body. And the things that you think, the mm-hmm. things that you, I mean, I have made changes in my body, just by, you know, kind of transforming my thinking, making different decisions, making different choices. Yes. And, yep. Because I didn't start running until I was 60. And, you know, before that I was fat, out of shape, and you know, just was not a good steward of my body. And
yeah, you know, the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Renewing of your mind, it starts there.
It does. And there are, I mean, that is for me, it's a hot button topic, because we're not taught how to do that very well. I mean, it's just, it's something that's kind of like, oh, we think it's going to happen just naturally. And I've found, you know, I just wasn't working at it. I was like, you need to work on renewing your mind to
just like everything else, right? It takes work. It takes putting in time.
But that's really where it starts to me to transfer over into mm-hmm. to the physical, and the relationship between physical performance and what you think is just it's amazing to me.
So. It really is.
Well, how can people connect with you, and who are the people that you help? I mean, we talked about that before, but I want to make sure that we get it in the podcast, so that if somebody hears this and is like,
yeah,
she sounds like she could help me.
Yeah. So kind of two things. You can go to my website, CandiceMcPhil.com. So for health coaching, I focus on working with executives, industry leaders. So that just the, you know, population that is really trying to achieve better physical performance, right? But also like for the book side, As For Me and My Body, that website is asformeandmybody.com. And so besides like getting the book, what upcoming is like we're releasing a app that's like a community. It's going to be a community of believers that we actually help each other bridge our physical and spiritual health 365 days a year. So it's in the works, and hopefully Q3 sometime we'll be done with the technology behind everything. So you'll be able to download that in the Apple and Android stores. Wow. So look for that coming too. So just check out those two websites, CandiceMcPhil.com and AsForMeAndMyBody.com.
That's cool. So say there's an executive that has been, you know, neglected his body, and it goes,
yep.
You know, you talked about being a professional bodybuilder, and so I know a lot of times people will look at a coach and, well, they can't help me because I'm not fit at all. I just need to be able to bend over and tie my shoes. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, however out of shape, do you work with people who are in all levels?
All levels. Again, because it's about your journey, your goals, your personal mission statement. And it's not about looking like Candace or Eric, but like, what do you aspire to be? And for some, like, it's like you, like an ultra marathon runner, but others, like, you know what, I'm just trying to walk two blocks. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, it's my clientele is just all different levels. So it's just, but again, I think, as I said before, it's just about trying to be the best you that you can be.
Yeah, and you focus on health. You're not just a personal trainer. You look at overall health. You're a health coach, not just a fitness
personal
coach.
Trainer.
Yeah, not a personal team.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, that distinction, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is a huge distinction. Like, it's not just, oh, Candace is going to give me some exercises to do, but no, it's like that comprehensive 360 degree approach. Like, I really have this philosophy. Like, I feel like I call it Candace McPhil University, because I think trying to educate clients and important wisdom in it into people is like the best way to make them have a transformation in their lifestyle. So the more fundamentals you know or understand, you're more apt to make it a lifestyle. But to unlock optimal performance, I believe you have to have all these areas, four areas firing at the same time. So you have to think about nutrition, your exercise, your rest. And rest is a lot of times overlooked. And it's so valuable. You have to rest. Like, people just don't get adequate sleep, but you have to. And then that fourth area is just, I have a genetics icon. So it's about people like understanding your own body. Begin to listen to your own body. I say that a lot of times to clients, like, you have to be able to listen to your body. So sometimes your body's going to tell you, I can push more. And sometimes it may tell you, I need to kind of fall back a little bit.
So how well do people do at listening to their bodies? How in your experience with the people that you work with, what's been your experience about, are they in touch with their body and know what's going on? Are they kind of
clueless? Yeah, I think at first they're not. But I kind of like drill it into them, listen to your body, you know, and we go through like, okay, what does that look like or entail? But I think, you know, I think within a couple months, they get it. They start, there's like little triggers they start to notice. And for instance, this was a couple of weeks ago, and a lady, she recognized like a danger sign. She's had some issues like in her forearms. And so she recognized, a certain exercise, you know, triggered that, you know, kind of injury. And so it's doing little things like that. And you'll just begin to notice, but I think within a couple months, you begin to become better at it. And then, you know, give it, and then fast forward a year. And it's just like, you're very in tuned with your body. And that's key to performance too. Like, being so in tuned with your body, you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And like I said, when you can push, when you can't push, things like that.
Oh, and that kind of goes back to where we were talking about the integration between the body and the soul, and that the separation of like my the spiritual side of me or the soul side of me is over here, and my body is over here, and I think a lot of and I know I was that way a lot. I mean, I ignored my body and was not really in touch with what was going on. And and so people, I think a lot of people are in that situation, have their body is sending them signals and their brain is ignoring. And
yes, no, that is so true. It's like your brain is like, nope. Your body's like, come on, listen, understand, feel me. And you're just like ignoring. And then what happens is you ignore for so long, it becomes a severe issue, or you end up in the hospital, or it's a life threatening condition, etc. So, you know, that's why you want to train your body, train yourself to start listening now. So you don't have to worry about like, oh, this is now a catastrophe because I've gone so long neglecting and not listening to my body.
Well, thank you a lot, Candace, for taking time to talk with me. I enjoyed getting connecting with you again. And
yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
And I hope good luck with the app. Hope that goes well. And and with your book sales and all of the things that you're doing to try to create. I think it's really an important thing to help people get connected, their mind, their soul and their body, get back together, and mind and their body.
Yeah, no, I appreciate Eric, you know, you having me on, and it's good to see you again and catch up. So yeah looking forward to just staying in better touch.
And you're on Instagram as well. I know that's
Instagram,
Facebook. And so, I'll put those links on too for notes for the shows. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.